Good evening. I hope all of you are doing well.
I appreciate you laughing at me this morning. And the most interesting thing about all that is I learned that Jerry Hesselrode speaks French, because he came up to me afterwards and said, "I think that's a French word." So that was interesting. Anyway, a little levity is fun, and I do appreciate that. I told you a couple of weeks ago that actually, I asked you the question over and over again, do you love your church family? And I hope that you have thought about that over the past few weeks, because it's a very serious question to ask. Do you love your church family? And I also said that it's very easy to say, but it's often very difficult to actually prove that. So tonight, I want to expound on that a little bit and push a little further, because the proving part of saying that I love my church family gets very, very tricky. Now, this church family here is comprised of some wonderful, wonderful people. From the oldest person in the room to the youngest person in the room, I want you to know that you are important. You are invaluable. We are better because you are here. Some of us have some great talents. Some of us have some deficiencies. Some of us have some extremely great competences in ourselves. And some of us may have some insecurities about who we are and what we can do. And see, that's what makes a church family so great, because we need each other. Your strengths help my weaknesses, and my strengths help your weaknesses. And we bounce ideas off of each other, and we sharpen each other together. Families need each other, and we are a church family, and I hope you feel that way. Now, I know that there are visitors in the room and wherever you call your church home. I hope you feel that way about your church. And you university students that are here, while you're in our town, I hope that you consider this church your church home, because we want you to feel that way. We need you to feel that way because you are important to us. There is no other family as great as the family of God. Wherever that church, that family is meeting, whether it's here in Henderson or whether it's somewhere in Kentucky or somewhere around the world, the family of God is the most important family, period. Now, this particular church family that we're talking about here in Henderson, if you look in our church directory, you'll see that we're comprised of a little over 300 family units. Okay, now here's what those family units are. Some of them are mom, dad, and the kids. And we have some great moms and dads and kids, and it's so exciting to watch them grow up. And for me, it's so exciting to know that I'll never have to do that again, because those days were pretty tremulous. And then you've got, our church family has a lot of singles. Those who have not found a spouse or a mate just yet, and they're probably looking, or maybe they don't care, and that's okay. They're important. We have in our church family some widows. We have some widowers who have lost a mate. But they're here, and they're contributing, and they're an active part of this church family. Are they important? Absolutely they are. We've got some great teenagers. We've got great university students. We've got newlyweds who are just starting off the challenge of life. Are they important? Yes. Why? Because they're a part of this family. We need each other so much. But first, I want to talk to you that we are individuals first. Yes, some of you may be sitting there and you're thinking, it's me and my wife and our 3+, or how many kids you may have. You're an individual first. So I want you to draw your attention to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to go through a few things here tonight in Romans chapter 12, that each of us as individuals, this is how we should be. And as we go through, starting in verse 9 of Romans chapter 12, I would like you to put the singular pronoun I as we read through this, okay? I should genuinely love others. I should despise what is evil. I should grasp onto what is good. I should love others with brotherly affection. I should be outdoing each other in giving honor. I should be quick in zeal. I should be fervent in spirit. I should be serving the Lord. I should be rejoicing in hope. I should be patient during difficult times. I should be praying constantly. I should be contributing to the needs of the saints. I should be seeking to show hospitality. You see, all of us in this church family, all of us should be striving and seeking individually to be the best Christian that we can be, because that's the one thing that we have in common. Our belief in and our dedication to Christ the Savior. That's what brings us all here together. Yes, we come from different backgrounds, different states, different socioeconomic statuses. We understand that. But what draws us together as a church family is Jesus Christ. Listen to how Romans 12 ends this section, starting in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is what we've been created for. Recall, you are created in the image of God. We are created for the specific purpose of praising and giving honor to God, but also created for the purpose of encouraging and supporting our brothers and sisters. This is what we've been created for, to build up the church. We've had these two banners up before you the entire year, and I hope that we will continue to keep them up as the days and weeks go. It says sharing life and changing lives. It's very often difficult, isn't it, to share life with others, especially if we take the attitude of, what can you do for me, instead of, how can I help you? If you have your Bibles, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at a verse there as we think about this idea of, how can I help? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's not wrong to want and need the help of others. I hope that if you are struggling tonight, that you will let one of your brothers and sisters know. That's part of the purpose of the church, is to get help and to receive help. But we can't take the attitude as Christian of, it's just about me, it's not about you. We have to be looking and listening for opportunities on how we can help. We need each other. And so here comes the question tonight, how can I help? And I want to just use five simple things that I think will help you. They're senses, and we all have them, right? So first, let's use our eyes. Just keep your eyes open. Just keep your eyes open and notice people. And we all do, right? We all see things. We see people walking that may have need some help carrying a bag, or maybe they can't get a door open, or maybe they've got their hands full. We all see needs, right? Well, don't be the person that kind of turns your head a little bit and keeps walking and like, oh, I didn't see that. Or don't be like the guy who always left my keys in my car, better go get them. Just walk straight to what it is that you see and do what you can to help. Use your eyes. It's not a hard concept in that. Number two, use your ears. Use your ears. Now, the most important thing that you can do with your ears is just listen. Now, for some of you who don't necessarily like talking to people, this might be a hard one for you. Okay, you're going to have to talk to someone. But listen. Now, yes, you will probably hear some heartbreaking things. Okay, you'll hear some fears. You'll hear some frustrations. You'll hear some challenges. But you'll also hear some great things. You'll hear some joys. You'll hear some things that they're excited about. You'll hear how they feel that God is working actively in their lives. You'll hear all of those things. And as you're listening to them, there's going to come a time, probably, when the opportunity is going to be there for you to ask, how can I help? Number three, your nose. First thing I would say is, don't turn your nose up at anybody. Be humble, okay? Nobody in this room is more important than anybody else. But keep your nose exactly where it is. Number two, there may be an opportunity where your nose actually does come in handy. Mom, dad, and kids, they've got two or three kids. You walk by and you think, yep, one of them needs some help. You don't necessarily have to volunteer to take that one, but maybe take the other two. Remember how it was when you had multiple kids that age, if you did, and how challenging that can be and how overwhelming that can be and maybe even sometimes embarrassing that can be that you've got too much on your hands. Just stop and say, how can I help? You know, when we have gone on mission trips in the past overseas, one of the things that we pack is deodorant and soap and things like that. Because in some of those countries, they don't have that very much. It's not a foreign concept that someone might come into the church here and not smell great. That happens, right? Life happens. We all have challenges. We have needy folks in the community. They probably already feel bad about their situation. Don't you think it'd be great for us as a church who's compassionate to get over ourselves just a little bit and put our arm around them and say, I'm so glad you're here. And we get past the odor. Because isn't that what Jesus Christ would do? Really? I believe so. Use your touch, number four. You ever shook someone's hand and you feel the tremble? I have. Sometimes people are very good at masking things. They've got so much stress in their life that they just need an outlet. And sometimes it just comes out in their hands or their body language where you can just tell something is going on. You put your arm around them and you can just feel them tense up. Ask. How can I help? Love that person enough to ask them how you can help. You can feel the grief. You can feel the sorrow that they may be experiencing. And lastly, your taste. Easiest thing I could come up with on this, because I don't want you to go around licking each other. Invite someone over for a meal. Take the stress of life off of someone just for a day. Again, you're going to have to use your eyes on this one, but just invite someone to dinner for a meal. And as you're sitting there talking, gathered around a meal, you're talking and you're finding out about each other, there's going to be an opportunity probably that's going to present itself, and you're going to have to be able to ask the question, how can I help? Now, why? Why would we ever want to ask another person, another part of this church family, how can I help? One very simple reason. That is what God, that is what Jesus expects us to do. Remember in Acts 20, verse 35, Paul wrote this, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Isn't that true? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, being a part of this church family is wonderful, and I love it. I love you. I hope you love me. I need you. I do. And I hope you need me, and I hope you can use me in some way in your life. That's your permission to come up and tell me how I can help you. All of us as individuals have a responsibility to look for opportunities and how we can help each other. Flip over into the book of Matthew, chapter 25. This is a scene of the final judgment, starting in verse 31. I'll try to read this very quickly. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" If we continue to read this scene, you will know what he says to the goats. "You didn't do these things for me." When we use our senses, when we help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we are truly being family. We are sharing life, and hopefully, as a part of that, we will be helping to change lives. I'd like to end tonight by reading the two verses that Vincent read us at the beginning, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." I hope that you will put this phrase into practice. How can I help? How can we help you tonight? Have you heard the word? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You're ready to repent of your sins? You're ready to confess his name before men? You're ready to go down into the watery graves of baptism and be raised up a new life through baptism? Are you ready for that tonight? We can help. Are you struggling with a sin? You're already a Christian and you've fallen away. You've become discouraged for a number of reasons, and you just need prayers. This church is collectively here for you to say, how can we help? And one of the best ways we can do that is just to pray with you. If you have any needs tonight, if we can help, please come as we stand and sing.